Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live on the Dankoff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have a number of things to cover today very, very quickly. We have a special guest, and that special guest is Archpriest John Whiteford of Global Orthodox. He is also the priest of St. Jonah Russian Orthodox Church in Spring, Texas. We'll have no call-ins today so that we can give Father Whiteford the maximum amount of time on the air. And, of course, we will also be featuring this show on the Tuesday edition of the Dankoff Report, which airs with ACH out of London. Ask yourselves this question. How does the New World Order operate? How does Globo Homo operate? Clearly, we understand that it operates according to four basic methodologies. Economic blackmail and sanctions, coup d'etats and assassinations, number two. Number three, military threats and interventions. Number four, last but not least, cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism and spiritual subversion. That's the methodology that has worked so well for Global Homo and the New World Order, unfortunately, in the United States and in the Western world. But the fundamental question is this. Has Global Homo and the New World Order suddenly come up against a brick wall in terms of Vladimir Putin's Russia in the Ukraine? This is what we're going to be talking to Archpriest John Whiteford of Global Orthodox about. And then, of course, on Tuesday, we'll be making reference to this show out of London, as well as talking about Suravikin's sledgehammer, which Alexander Mercurius terms the particular way in which this war is likely to end in Russia's favor, as the West is dangling and left dangling in the wind. Father Whiteford, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, you're someone that all of our listeners and the Republic Broadcasting Network need to know about. The London, England version of this show, which goes out Tuesday, will air on RBN, but it's also going to be on Rents Radio, Eurofolk Radio, ACH's network, of course, and Dave Gaharry's new radio network at Free Speech Radio. He has been a longtime radio and columnist whiz with the American Free Press. Long and short of it is that over time that we have every reason to believe that thousands of additional people are going to learn exactly who you are. They're going to learn more about the Global Orthodox website. You're also going to zero in on what is really going on in this war, which, again, is not simply a war against Putin's Russia in terms of economic blackmail and sanctions. That's not working. Coup d'etats and assassinations are still trying that, obviously. The Dugina tragedy, the assassination of Darya Dugina in Moscow on August 20th, is evidence of that. Military threats and interventions remains to be seen how much further NATO and the United States are going to push that envelope. And last but not least, of course, is your particular expertise. You know a lot about the other ones, obviously, but cultural and spiritual subversion. How do you see this situation as it pertains to the West? How do you see what is going on with the Orthodox Church in the Western world in certain circles? How do you think this whole LGBTQ thing plays out globally? Is it certainly seems that there is a religious dimension of this New World Order attack on Putin. You just run with it from there, sir, and I'll ask questions as need be.
Well, you know, Orthodox Christians that are living in the West are swimming in the same cultural sea as everybody else, and so that's part of the problem, is just the cultural subversion that everybody has been subjected to. And we have people who grow up in the Orthodox Church, you know, maybe more or less faithful in terms of their attendance, but they get influenced by the culture and they wind up adopting views that are contrary to the Orthodox Church. But the thing is, it's, a lot of this is not just natural or stuff that's being absorbed by Orthodox Christians by osmosis. There actually are elements like foundation money and even the State Department that are actively trying to subvert Orthodoxy. And to give a little bit of background, the Patriarch of Constantinople is in the Orthodox Church considered to be the first among equals. He's not the Pope of the East. he's just the bishop that would preside in the first place if you had all the patriarchs together, and if there was a council that involved bishops outside of his own patriarchate, he would preside because he's the first in the diptychs or in rank. But every local church has its own head and has its own synod, and so there's not a centralization in Orthodoxy like you have in the Roman Catholic Church. But Constantinople fell, quite some time ago, many centuries ago, and under the Turks, the Orthodox Christians suffered quite a bit, but particularly at the end of World War One, there was the Greeks attempted to liberate the Greek areas of Turkey and to bring them to make them part of Greece, but that war didn't go so well. So the Turks prevailed in that war and basically ethnically cleansed the Greeks that still lived in Asia Minor, and they allowed something like 50,000 Greeks to remain in Istanbul or Constantinople itself. But then as the years went by, they made life so uncomfortable for them that population dwindled, and it's now maybe a couple of thousand at the most. And so the Patriarch of Constantinople, having once had a pretty substantial amount of territory and a lot of support from dioceses that had lots of people and people who were supporting it, suddenly found itself kind of in the lurch, and so then went on a spree of trying to draw under its own authority Greek-speaking dioceses around the world. For example, the Greeks in the United States were under the Church of Greece rather than the Patriarch of Constantinople prior to the 1920s. But what happened was, it's a long story, but to make a long story short, these various Greek-speaking dioceses wound up under the Ecumenical Patriarch. But also, the Patriarch of Constantinople was under a lot of British influence originally, but around World War II, that influence started to shift towards the United States. And so essentially, the Patriarch Athenagoras, who was the Patriarch of North America at the time, at the end of World War II, or after World War II, was elected Patriarch of Constantinople and was flown on the forerunner to Air Force One, which was called the Holy Cow by Harry Truman, to Constantinople. And this is all true.
Yes.
And so the United States has had more than a little bit of a hand in the affairs of Constantinople. Well, unfortunately, what we've seen in more recent years is the United States has been pushing homosexuality around the world and using its power to do so. It's also been trying to divide the Orthodox Church because it sees the Russian Orthodox Church as having a lot of influence outside of the boundaries of Russia, and so it wants to divide the church. It doesn't care about any of the theological issues that the Orthodox Church considers to be important. It just wants to break things up. So they sponsored a schismatic group in Ukraine, and by some means were able to get the Patriarch of Constantinople to recognize that group, even though previously the Patriarch had condemned these people as schismatics and made it clear that Ukraine was part of the Russian Church. But back in 2018, that all changed, and U.S. diplomats were going around the world meeting with the heads of other local Orthodox churches trying to pressure them into recognizing the schismatic group. Most of the Orthodox Church has not recognized the schismatic group at this point, but the Patriarch of Alexandria, which is the patriarch that's over Africa, also the Church of Greece, the Church of Cyprus, they recognize them. And so it's not a full-blown schism in the Orthodox Church at this point, but it's certainly a divisive issue. And unfortunately, our taxpayer dollars are going to fund all of this.
Well, I read
in terms of the LGBT.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, in terms of the LGBTQ stuff, there are a number of Orthodox scholars, quote-unquote, that have started promoting this stuff. And if you, there's a website that's called Public Orthodoxy. And if you look at this website, it's run out of Fordham University. There's an Orthodox Studies department there. And there are two Orthodox laymen that are the heads of it. And if you look at that website, that's not a shoestring budget website. Every article is translated into other languages, and I think they have something like six languages that they're posting this stuff in. So they're getting money, and this money's coming from foundations. It wouldn't surprise me if some of it's coming directly from the U.S. government, but if it's not coming directly, it's coming indirectly. And it's being translated into all these other languages because they're trying to use that to undermine Orthodoxy around the world. And this site regularly promotes homosexuality, transgenderism, anything you can name in terms of the alphabet soup stuff, they're promoting it. And
yes, and I just want to say three things to our listeners. Father Whiteford's a great contributor to Global Orthodoxy, which exposed much of this in conjunction with a film that was on YouTube by a source using a pseudonym that nonetheless had a four-part series entitled The Subversion of American Orthodoxy. Now, this was finally taken down from YouTube when Fordham University's Orthodox Studies Department falsely claimed, in my view, and in the view of the person who posted these videos, falsely claimed copyright violation, when in fact the person who posted them made reference to fair use law, which should have caused YouTube to let those videos stand. You can still see those videos on BitChute. I wanted to refer our listeners to BitChute and to look for the global the global subversion of American Orthodoxy or the subversion of American Orthodoxy. The other thing, and I've made reference to this before, this kind of gets into what Father Whiteford has been talking about here. James Jotras, who used to work for the American State Department, he is an Orthodox Christian. He wrote a piece for Chronicles magazine, and I believe it was entitled, What is the State Department Really Up to in Ukraine? I believe it is there that Jotras tells us that this Bartholomew II, this patriarch of Istanbul that Father Whiteford has made reference to, received a truckload of money from the National Endowment for Democracy, which is, I think, probably a conduit for money coming directly from the Central Intelligence Agency, if the truth be known. But if I'm remembering this correctly, Jotras indicated in this article that some $25 million passed its way to the Patriarch of Constantinople, who then proceeded to intervene in Ukraine, which is not his ecclesiastical jurisdiction, folks. The ecclesiastical jurisdiction over the legitimate Orthodox Church of Ukraine is the Russian Patriarch Kirill in Moscow. I think we can all see where that's going. A schismatic Ukrainian church was formed as a result of Bartholomew II's intervention at the behest of the American State Department and presumably the American intelligence community. And now, as I understand it, Mr. Zelensky either has signed or will sign legislation that will prohibit any Orthodox activities in Ukraine, worship or otherwise, that involve anything other than the schismatic Orthodox Church that is certainly not recognized as valid by the Russian Orthodox Church. Is that a fairly good understanding, Father Whiteford, of what was going on there?
That's correct. As a matter of fact, there was an article that just came out today that he signed an executive order that was probing whether the legitimate Orthodox Church in Ukraine had any connections with Russia that were still in existence, and also to look at whether they had a right to occupy the Kiev Caves, which, if you're not Orthodox, that might not mean anything to you, but the Kiev Caves Lavro is a very large collection of monasteries that's in Kiev, and it's, you know, one of the most holy sites in the Russian Church. And if they kick the monks out of there, that's going to be a pretty earth-shaking event, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit if that's what it comes to. And, yes. You know, you should understand that most of the people in Ukraine are Orthodox. Unfortunately, after the Soviet period, that doesn't mean that everybody actually goes to church that considers themselves to be Orthodox. But there are a lot of very pious people in Ukraine, and most of those people go to the legitimate church. And certainly most of the monks and the nuns in Ukraine are part of the legitimate church, not the bogus AstroTurf church.
Yes. And, you know, one thing that, of course, is conveniently never mentioned, and I'm sure it never gets any, I'm guessing it never gets any play at the Fordham University Center for Orthodox Studies, I'm presuming, and that is that, folks, we need to be reminded that in February of 2014, the United States and the European Union illegitimately overthrew the elected government of Ukraine in Kiev. Whether you like the Yanukovych regime or not, it was legitimately elected. There's a coup d'etat in that country that was absolutely illegal. That set the stage, along with these expansions of NATO since the late 1990s and Bill Clinton's bombing of Serbia in 1999, set the stage for the eventual arrival of Mr. Zelensky to the so-called presidency of Ukraine. Now, to me, Father Whiteford, we're going to get into something obviously really controversial here, but it strikes me as rather fascinating that Ukraine is an Orthodox country, and yet these last two presidents installed by the West are Jewish. Mr. Zelensky, in particular, was backed by several Jewish oligarchs in Ukraine, Igor Kolomoisky being the most significant of those. And essentially, and this is something that people can see right on YouTube, Zelensky is a Jewish drag queen nightclub comedian, folks. That's who he is. You know, believe me, check the videos that are out there on YouTube. How in the world does someone with this background become the president of an Orthodox country where now you have two Orthodox countries fighting each other? I think this gets back, Father Whiteford, to what I alluded to at the beginning of the show, where you have four methodologies that the New World Order uses. And when we come back, we'll examine that in greater detail. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff live broadcasting on the Dankoff Report on RBN. We will be back shortly with Archpriest John Whiteford of Global Orthodoxy and as well St. Jonah Russian Orthodox Church in Spring, Texas. Stay tuned.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Extendivite really works. Kate. Great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
We are back. You are live with Mark Dankoff on the Dankoff Report from San Antonio, Texas, but on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And of course, in terms of shameless self-promotion, I'll remind you that in terms of our show roadmap, which will go up when the show goes up for later listeners, you'll see a link to my Mark Dankoff's Christian Martyrdom in the American Empire. That's a 2018 publication, by the way, but Jonas E. Alexis at Veterans Today has reposted that because in the wake of the event since February 24th of this year, that particular post is perhaps more relevant than it was 4 years ago. So take a look at that. And then the other thing, because my listeners are also readers, we have a roadmap that we'll post in terms of show description that will lead you to some of Archpriest John Whiteford's writings, political articles and analysis, sermons, his news sites, or a variety of ways in which you can follow him. There's a terrific amount of information about him and the various things that he's been doing on our behalf. That are not possible to cover in any talk show, even if we were on here for 12 hours or maybe even 12 years. So take a look at those articles. Those are already running in both the English and Russian language promos for this shows in Russian social media. So I imagine that over time, this particular show is going to be of interest to all of those folks in that part of the world, as well as our London listeners, when the Dankoff Report airs on ACH and on Rents and on RBN and on Gehary's Free Speech Radio and on Eurofolk Radio on Tuesday. Father Whiteford, I was mentioning at the beginning of the show, it's always seemed to me that the New World Order, as we understand that, obviously, I don't think I even have to ask you the leading question as to whether or not there is a satanic force that is behind this so-called New World Order. May ask you to expand upon that shortly in terms of what you understand of Christian eschatology, those things that will precede the second coming of Christ, as the Orthodox Church understands that. But getting back for just a minute to the four things I mentioned, economic blackmail and sanctions, that's a part of what the New World Order uses. Coup d'etats and assassinations, just as one example, of course, the February 2014 coup d'etat in Kiev and the Daria Dugina assassination in Moscow this past August 20th as examples there. Third, military threats and interventions. We're reading about that sort of thing every day. And then finally, this business of cultural and spiritual subversion. This thing seems to me to run so deeply. I found Mike Pompeo, of all people. Check this out, folks. If you go to the American consulate website in Kiev, you can find Mike Pompeo, our Secretary of State under a Republican president, promoting LGBTQ pride in Kiev. Ruminate on that one for a minute. Father Whiteford, how deeply does this run, and how do you see this playing out? What's going to happen, in your view, with the West generally, the United States specifically, and in this Russian-Ukrainian war? And I know your political knowledge dovetails with your eschatological perspective. What do you think we can look for in weeks and months ahead until the Lord returns, whenever that may be? What's your informed forecast on this?
Well, I mean, I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but as far as the war in Ukraine, the way that it's looking to me is that Russia is gearing up to win it, and I think that they're likely to have control of most or all of the country within a year, if not half of a year. I don't know that for sure. It's, you know, there's a lot of variables in there, but it looks like the West has run out of artillery pieces and shells and weapon systems, and Russia spent the last 8 years preparing for this war. I think that Russia was trying to avoid this war, and they would have certainly taken a whole lot less if there had been any reasonableness on the other side. But this war happened because the United States wanted it to happen. Yes. And all Putin wanted, really, before this whole thing happened, was he wanted Eastern Ukraine, the breakaway republics, to be recognized as autonomous. So they still would have been part of Ukraine.
Exactly.
But they would have been allowed to run their own affairs. And of course, he would have wanted Ukraine to recognize that Crimea was Russian, because Crimea was always part of Russia up until Khrushchev, probably in some drunken stupor, decided to give it to Ukraine. And he was himself a Ukrainian.
We'll be back in a second, Father Whiteford. We got a short break here. When we get back, I want to get back to this Crimean issue and this whole business of the referendum in Crimea that was never recognized by the West. We'll be back with Archpriest John Whiteford of Global Orthodox. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you on the Dankoff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my 357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
We are back on the Dankoff Report, live on the Republic Broadcasting Network with Archpriest John Whiteford of Global Orthodox. By the way, before we get into Crimea and what the significance of that is with Father Whiteford, I just had a message that came in from Alexander Mercurius of the Duran, and not only to me, but to a lot of folks, indicating that I guess we've got some brand new Russian missile strikes going on in Ukraine. Consult the Duran, by the way, folks. Another good one is South Front. South Front came under severe cyber attack last night, they were telling me, because there are awful lot of powerful people that don't want that information making its way to people in Western Europe and the United States about what's really going on. Scott Berletic of the New Atlas on YouTube is another great source. There's Military Summary on YouTube. And, of course, there is Larry Johnson, son of the American Revolution, ex-CIA analyst. And you'll find Larry's website on my list of news links on my website, Mark Dankoff's Catacomb at WordPress.com. And, again, once again, folks, avail yourselves in the show description and the roadmap of all of the various things that Archpriest John Whiteford has put in this Global Orthodox website, and that involves good political news analysis, as well as news analysis that has an Orthodox theological perspective, a legitimate one. And again, you can also find all kinds of ways to follow Father Whiteford ongoingly, because he, like these other people that I have just mentioned, is an outstanding source for what's really going on. Father Whiteford, back to this whole business of Crimea. Before the break, you, of course, emphasized that Crimea was always a part of the old Soviet Union. And, of course, the circumstances under which Khrushchev just gave it its independence apparently had an awful lot to do with too much vodka to drink that night. But nonetheless, Crimea continued to be home to the Russian Navy, and Sevastopol still is, for that matter. And as I understand this, correct me if I'm wrong, but the people of Crimea, looking at this CIA European Union coup d'etat in Kiev, decided that they did not want to be ruled by this illegitimate regime. And so they had a referendum and voted overwhelmingly by some staggering figure to return to Russia. So my question is this, how is it that the West wants everyone in the so-called world community to recognize the Zelensky regime and to recognize these regimes that replaced Yanukovych by coup d'etat in February of 2014, but the West at the same time says the Crimeans have no right to hold a referendum on whether or not they should return to Russia. Double standard here?
Well, it's more than a double standard. If you take Kosovo, for example, they didn't even have a referendum before they declared their independence from Serbia. And we had promised the, at that time, Yugoslavian government that Kosovo was not going to be made independent when we when they agreed to allow us to occupy it after we bombed them back to the Stone Age. And so there's hypocrisy in spades here. The people in Crimea are overwhelmingly Russian, and they overwhelmingly support being part of Russia as opposed to Ukraine, particularly after what had happened. I think that if we had not had the coup, Crimea would have probably continued on. They were already an autonomous part of Ukraine. They really Yes. managed their own affairs, and I think they would have been happy to have left things that way. The real shame of the situation is that the people of Ukraine don't want this war, and the people of Russia don't want this war. The United States wanted this war because they wanted to push the boundaries of NATO right into Russia's face, and it also is a convenient way of justifying buying and giving away a lot of very expensive weapon systems, and so it pays off a lot of military contractors that want that kind of money constantly flowing.
Exactly, but, and we are talking about billions and billions of dollars, folks, going to the armaments industry, the armaments manufacturers. I read just a day or two ago that some of these arms that supposedly were delivered to Zelensky in Ukraine suddenly turned up on the border between Colombia and Venezuela. So that ought to suggest the level of non-accountability in this whole process. You also mentioned something else, Father Whitefur, that I think is absolutely critical here, and that is that in the run-up to the coup d'etat of February 2014, and of course in the 8 years that followed, the American people have not had it explained to them by their news media that this illegitimate regime that was installed by the West in February 2014 conducted an eight-year war against these Russian-speaking peoples in Donbass and Lugansk that apparently killed somewhere between 15 and 17,000 people. That's conveniently never mentioned. But going back to what you were saying about, you know, Bill Clinton illegitimately utilizing NATO to bomb Serbia in 1999 and out of that to illegitimately create this rump state of Kosovo. But even prior to that, we had all of these expansions of countries joining NATO, who at one time were a part of the Warsaw Pact in Soviet days. And I duly know what Pat Buchanan and David Stockman have noted, among many others, and that is that we, meaning the United States government, promised Gorbachev through George Herbert Walker Bush and James Baker that the United States would never recruit these former Warsaw Pact countries to join NATO, never push NATO closer to Russian borders, would not install American and NATO military assets in these countries. And yet, in conjunction with what Clinton did in bombing Serbia, that's exactly what we've done with these NATO expansions. And it just seems, in one sense, that this ignition of this war on the part of the United States and NATO and the European Union with Putin's Russia in Ukraine that's simply the latest tragedy that goes all the way back to the NATO, the illegitimate recruitment of these countries to join NATO, Clinton's bombing of Serbia. And then, of course, you had the John McCain sanctioned attempt to support Georgia in an illegitimate war with South Ossetia that clearly had the American neoconservative element behind the ignition of that conflict is a predecessor to what we're looking at now. I mean, when do we simply say that enough is enough? Where is the American public on this? Where is the European public on this, especially now that they're getting closer to a gross global military involvement that will involve their own sons and daughters, and an involvement in something that's costing billions of dollars in subsidies to Zelensky and the armaments manufacturers, at the same time that we are looking at the economic impact that this is having on the Western countries that jumped into this economic war of attrition against Putin. Where's the American public on this? Are the European countries, it seems to be, I'm thinking of Austria, for example, somewhat in Germany, a little bit in France. There have been some protests that have started on this whole business. Is this going to get larger? Or the Western European peoples in the United States and the Canadians in the United Kingdom just going to be willingly drawn into this mess?
Well, there are people, it's almost like I think there might even be some desire on the part of people in the deep state in the United States to actually get us into a hot war so that they can justify taking emergency powers in the United States. I don't know but I wouldn't be surprised. But what we're doing is so reckless and insane. And yet our media is not alerting the American people to the danger that we're in. We're almost in a hot war with a country that has more nuclear weapons than we do. And there's no way that a nuclear war would end well for anybody. So this is something in a conventional war, I don't think we could win right now because we've so diminished our military that I don't think they'd be capable of winning a conventional war against Russia right now. And we wouldn't want it to escalate beyond that.
Yes. Well, that's certainly my reading of it, and that's the reading of all of these secular experts that I have cited for our listeners to ongoingly consult. Your analysis dovetails with theirs. It dovetails with mine, as they have informed me. And to me, it's absolutely breathtaking. I haven't... going back to an article that was on my referenced on my show last week, David Wemhoff, who's a Roman Catholic, wrote an article for Lou Rockwell entitled Vatican II and the Deep State. Now, Wemhoff has satisfied me, more importantly, perhaps in terms of volume of writing, Dr. E. Michael Jones, the Roman Catholic scholar up in South Bend, Indiana, with Culture Wars, has informed me over years about the amount of deep state activity that produced Vatican II and the aftermath in the Roman tradition. Now, the reason I mention this, do you think that that's behind what the deep state in the United States and in Western Europe are starting to launch in the way of the subversion of the theological standards of the Orthodox Church? And it seems to me that they've targeted the Russian Orthodox Church in particular. Is that the way you're reading this?
I think that that's true, and matter of fact, a lot of this is not even debatable. There's a pro ecumenical patriarch / pro schismatic Ukraine website that's known as the Orthodox Times, and they got a $100,000 grant from the United States State Department. That's a matter of public record.
So, yes.
So they don't even make a secret about it. I mean, when we had our diplomats going around the world to meet with the heads of local Orthodox churches and to try to pressure them into accepting the schismatic group, they weren't making a secret of that either. And matter of fact, the Patriarch of Alexandria had always promised that he would never support the schismatics And then all of a sudden he turned on a dime. And I don't know what kind of pressure was brought to bear, but apparently it was sufficient because he flipped.
Yes. Well, this, you know, and this always gets back to something as Father Whiteford educates all of us, including me, on what is happening with the Orthodox Church. I go back to something at the beginning of this, of the overt shooting war in February, when Putin intervened in the Donbass. Here in San Antonio, the seventh largest city in America, it is Military Town USA. Among many other things, you've got the Air Force's Air Intelligence Agency here at Lackland Air Force Base. You have the National Security Agency's Global Internet Surveillance Operation, not in Fort Meade, but here in San Antonio. That's a joint operation with Bill Gates and Microsoft. They built this gigantic complex in San Antonio. You can see pictures of it on Google search. Now, having said all of that, when the war first started, overt war started this past February, all of a sudden in San Antonio, on all of these clear channel electronic boards, the Ukrainian flag was everywhere, and you had a mixture of the Ukrainian flag and the co-optation of the post-9/11 United We Stand theme. And these billboards all over the city were constantly beaming. United We Stand with Ukraine, with the Ukrainian flag in the background. Now this, folks, let me tell you, if you have any idea how much money it takes to have that kind of round-the-clock advertising on clear channel electronic billboards in the seventh largest city in the United States, who was paying for all of that advertisement? How much money did Clear Channel actually make off of that? I don't have the figures, but those are the questions. And yet, interestingly enough, as the sledding got worse and worse for Ukraine militarily, as at least some information in the alt media was contradicting the party line on why Putin intervened in Donbass, as the American public started getting wind of $65 billion of their tax dollars being poured into Zelensky's operation, followed by what I think is now an attempt on Biden's part to dump another $37 billion in there, and this just goes on and on and on, follow the trails of the money, folks, because now it's quite fascinating, quite comical to analyze these electronic billboards because now it's been replaced by other advertising that is quite suggestive of a message that perhaps is trying to soft pedal a number of things about Volodymyr Zelensky that are bringing painful truths home in terms of who it may be who is really behind the New World Order. Now, this gets us into eschatology, Father Whiteford. In terms of the New World Order, in terms of demonic influence, the appearance of Antichrist, the eventual second coming of Christ, in terms of your Russian Orthodox theology, are we seeing some of this starting to play out in what has happened just since February?
Well, I tend to think so. You know, if you lived in the Soviet Union in the 1930s, you would have probably thought that the Antichrist had already come, though. So I always caution people that you never know. But there are a lot of prophecies from contemporary saints and saints of recent memory that that give us some idea of what might be coming. There's a
let's continue with that when we come back, Father. We'll be okay, back, sure, with Archpriest John Whiteford after the commercial break. You're listening to the Dan Koff Report from San Antonio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back.
No reason to get excited.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are back. You are live with Mark Dankoff on the Republic Broadcasting Network and the Dankoff Report. Our special guest in these final minutes, and I mean minutes, is Archpriest John Whiteford. Global Orthodox is a terrific site, folks. Even if you are not an Orthodox Christian, it'll put you in the know. Take a look at what Alexander Mercurius seems to be putting out at the Duran today in the way of a latest video. Suggests that Surovikin's sledgehammer is just beginning to fall on Zelensky and the people behind Zelensky in this entire tragedy in the Ukraine, which, regardless of your political affiliation and who you want to see prevail in this war, has taken the lives of a lot of innocent people on both sides. Archpriest John Whiteford, here we are now back to eschatology again. You get to cover eschatology in, who knows, 2 minutes, which is why I want people to read your stuff in the roadmap. But go ahead, sir. Eschatology and what we're watching right now.
There was a saintly elder in China who was a Russian refugee that went to China after the Bolshevik Revolution in the 1930s by the name of Ignatius. And he made a prophecy that said that what began in Russia will end in America. And I knew some people who were from Harbin that told me that the way that they remembered it was that he actually added, but it will be worse. And I tend to think that that latter part of it is probably true. And a lot of other contemporary saints that have made prophecies about what will happen have said that basically Russia has already gone through its time of persecution and judgment, and that basically when the Antichrist comes, it's the West that's going to suffer the most, and in particular the United States. And so I don't know exactly how it's going to work out, but I just tell my people that if you have to be faithful to Christ and prepare. And I also remind them about what it's like when a hurricane is coming. It's too late when the hurricane is coming to start preparing. You have to prepare now, because once the hurricane's on the horizon, the store is empty out quick, and basically you're left with whatever you had. And that's the way that persecution's probably going to be in this country, is if you're not prepared, you're going to be stuck with what you have in your home, what you have in terms of knowledge, and if you don't prepare, you're going to be left in the lurch.
Exactly, and this gets into many biblical passages that Archpriest John Whiteford can undoubtedly exegete better than I can, but it deals with the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. And in terms of faithfulness, whatever type of Christian you might be today, whether you're looking at the Orthodox Church and the Russian Orthodox Church specifically, you're looking at believers within the Roman Catholic Church, you're looking at believers who continue to reside in some really dubious Protestant denominations that have really fallen by the wayside. Nonetheless, Christ's words to the church of Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2, the most faithful of the seven churches of Asia Minor, arguably along with the church of Philadelphia, but Revelation 2, 9 and 10, and of course the Lord says specifically there, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Well, folks, we've had Archpriest John Whiteford of Global Orthodox on. Avail yourself of all of his information that is in the show roadmap. We'll be promoting this again out of London, the Dan Koff Report on ACH, coming out of the United Kingdom on Tuesday. Take a look at my new post for Veterans Today, Christian Martyrdom in the American Empire. And last but not least, keep an eye on Suravikin's Sledgehammer through the Duran and some of these other sources that I have mentioned, because it certainly seems to me that biblical eschatology is in the process of being progressively fulfilled. We'll see you next week. Thanks again to Father Whiteford. Mark Dankoff signing off from San Antonio, Texas.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.